we could have these going in like multiple locations. And like, you know, I'm like, my mind's racing. And he just looked at me and he said, no. He said, every time we do one of these, we get to ask permission from the Great Spirit to do the next one. He said, we approach this with reverence.
As an employer, your business depends on your staff. They are the backbone of your company. But because you face unique challenges managing your team, you need to have the right resources. On this podcast, industry expert Alex Atwood tackles it all so you don't have to.
Today, I'm excited to be talking to a dear friend of mine who also happens to be a Care Bear. We're talking about marketing guru, startup founder, and heart-led leader, Barry Stamos. Barry achieved success early on as a pioneer in email marketing. He had a startup, Inbox Marketing, that exited to Oracle for $1.6 billion. And since then, he has discerned a need for heart-led leadership among the type A personalities, such as myself, and in the corporate world. So he co-founded, I'll call it a psychedelic travel agency for now, but I think it's a lot more than that. Actually, I know that, called One Heart Journeys. And he coaches top executives to use their superpowers for good. He's one of the leaders in the One Heart Journey experience, so you'll get to feel his energy if you ever decide to go on a One Heart Journey. And my favorite thing about Barry, though, is that Barry is a deadhead, and he's the one who actually introduced me to the Grateful Dead. So I'm excited to talk to Barry. He has palpable energy, and he is in right now. So Barry, it's great to see you. And I just did an amazing intro for you. And you actually came in at the perfect time, because as I was finishing up the intro, introducing you as a Care Bear, a loving conscious leader who started up multiple companies, found success in the corporate world, and now is leading others, specifically the type A personalities such as myself, down the path to understand their purpose. It's Barry Stamos. And the most important thing is you introduced me to the Grateful Dead, which I will never forget. Exactly. So it's great to see you, brother.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Alec. It's a pleasure to be on this show. And I want you to know that I love you, bro. Deeply love you.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me, brother.
Yes.
That means so much. Mm. So let's take it all the way back. Okay.
How far are we going back? How far are we going back?
We're going way back. We're going just outside the womb.
Okay.
I want to understand, because I know what shaped you and what helped you to sort of see the world was a young Barry growing up in a very progressive household. So tell me a little bit about, you know, your parents, sort of how you grew up. Give me a little bit of perspective about that.
So first, let me just share that my parents drove, this will give you just an idea of them. My parents drove all the way from California. They're both native Californians, drove all the way cross country and landed in Pennsylvania because they couldn't stand watching the coastlines of California getting developed, like nature getting plowed, destroyed. And so they got in a VW bus, drove cross country, stopped in Pennsylvania, found one of the highest elevation hills. We had a mile long driveway. They literally built the home there and my family home. And that's where I was born and raised. I was born and raised in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. Both my parents are teachers. They both drove Subarus. My dad had a bumper sticker that read, think globally, act locally. My mom had a bumper sticker that read, practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty. Wow. And I grew up in a solar passive home. I remember finding my dad's weed in his underwear drawer when I was like 11. And I tried to smoke it and really screwed it up. It didn't work. So that was a little bit of the beginnings of my reality. And you know what? It shaped me. I mean, my dad taught me early on the importance of being well-read. So he was always reading. He was always learning, you know, being a lifelong student, like constant curiosity. You can learn something from everybody, Barry. And also, you know, virtues such as like generosity. You know, he would always give anything he had to anybody in need. And my mom was a Head Start teacher. And so she was just always, you know, in a playful kind of, you know, spirit, always helping people also that were in need. And also she would dress up like a clown and dance around, improv Cyndi Lauper. So, you know, it was just one of those things where like, I don't know, I wasn't worried about being weird. You know, it was okay.
Very loving, compassionate. Yeah. And just allowing you to be you.
Yeah, indeed.
And so both of your parents were teachers, is that right? They were educators, is that right?
Yeah.
So did you have somebody that was sort of a mentor that you looked at as being, you know, somebody that inspired you, or what had you go into sort of the corporate or the entrepreneurial side of things?
Yeah, so the truth is, Alex, I was bored out of my fucking mind in school. I just was.
Yeah.
There were some like business classes I remember, like where you could be on the computer. And I was like, that's me, you know? And I like took typing and, you know, accounting and, you know, business law. I enjoyed those. I felt like I was learning something. And I remember going to the Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week where, you know, you got to come up with an idea for a business. And we worked as a team and they kind of did a simulation, you know, where you were creating a startup. And I just,
this was in college.
This is in high school. Yeah. This is like my junior year. And I remember to this day, like I came up with this dope idea for like this, like CD player, like, and it was called Systonic. And I came up with a whole rap, you know, commercial and still remember. And this just like lit me up. I'm like, wow, this is so cool. My parents used to just say, I remember like, you know, they used to say like, I don't know where you get it, but I just always was just into the idea of like creating businesses and like starting businesses. Mm-hmm. When my dad took a sabbatical in San Diego, I remember asking him, can I get a paper route? I want to work at like age 14. And like, wait, you know, I got up early and did the paper route. And so like, I just always wanted to go and work.
Dude.
I don't know. Yeah. Just, yeah. Just like, it was just like a calling to me.
Yeah.
And I was just fascinated by it. And so, no, I didn't really have, I had some good teachers in high school who were real supportive in that regard. And I got some scholarships, you know, awarded that were small, but like, you know, help kind of, we won, by the way, Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week. So maybe that was like an early validation for me and helped, you know, me see.
Systonic did?
Systonic. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow. This is perfect because I saw you get light up when you get lit up just now when you mentioned Systonic and you started to actually market like I could tell you your marketing sort of thing came out early on, right? Because you're already like Systonic. This is how it looks in the marketplace and all that. So it sounds like you always sort of had a fondness for marketing. It seems like that was always something that was inside you. Is that right? Like as an entrepreneur, you wanted to go into marketing. So
yeah, I did. I mean, marketing for me was like getting people excited about something, you know, like, I mean, it was like a way to bring people together. It was less about the business of it. It was more about like the intentionality of like, you know, if there's something worthy of sharing, you know, then how do you share that with enthusiasm and excitement and allowing people to experience it? That was the beginning of it. And then it, of course, got deep into the science and the data and the analytics and technology over time. It's like, you know, it's complicated, right? But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be at all.
No. So this is perfect because it goes into where you now coming out of high school and winning the, what was it called? The Pennsylvania.
It was a Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week. Yeah.
Free Enterprise. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you win this competition and now you're in college, right? And you went to Ithaca.
Yeah.
And so you're marketing, you take on marketing, you decide that's what you want to do when you go to school.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Now that you're in school and you're learning about marketing in terms of in a formal way, like, tell me how that eventually turned into inbox marketing. Like where did you winning the free enterprise competition, going into school, and then suddenly inbox marketing, you're an entrepreneur, you're dealing with everything that looks like. Kind of walk me through what that looked like.
Yeah. So I went from Ithaca to Cambridge to Arthur Andersen. And then I don't know if you remember, but like Arthur Andersen, there was like a scandal. The whole company came down. It went from a big five firm to like no firm. I mean, fortunately, Andersen Consulting spun out and now is Accenture, but like that was massive. And
huge. You know, so you were part of all, you were part of
I was a
that.
Part of all that. Yeah. No, I mean, that's when a big bubble bursted because I actually was, I'd essentially sold out. I came out of college and I got like the job, like, you know, I was going to be partner at a, you know, management consulting firm and like life very predictable.
It's a corporate ladder.
It was total corporate ladder, you know, got promoted three times and four. And thank goodness for that. Right. Because that could have been the next 30 years of my life otherwise. And instead it was like, yo, these big companies are just as risky. And at the time there was like the .com boom was just starting. And it's like, okay, well, if, if there's so much risk in being, you know, with a big company, why not just be part of a startup?
And so that, why not?
Yeah. So that was kind of one of those like aha moments where it was like, okay, I'm going to do a startup. And then Inbox for me was really exciting because at the time, this dates us, the email channel was new, right? It was like the web, search, and email. And we were just figuring out how to use email for work, like for, you know, businesses to market themselves. And because I had been, you know, because I'd grown up with a computer, I was more savvy with a computer than almost all the partners at Anderson. And so I was very gifted, you know, with technology. I understood email. And more importantly, I understood that we had on our hands technology that would enable mass communication. And yet for the first time, you know, a lot of the principles of direct marketing, you know, could be applied. We could send out an email to reach millions, but at the same time too, it could be personalized. And so, you know, what does mass communication look like when it's personalized? And that brought forth a lot of new kind of thinking and strategies. And so, yeah, so that really pulled me in. And it wasn't more than me just hanging up a shingle and saying, I'm now an email, you know, marketing, you know, strategist, and I'm now in service to companies, but that didn't get me traction. What got me traction was publishing. So I started writing prolifically about email, and some people liked what I had to say. And those were my early clients.
That's so interesting. So I love the way you say you hung up your shingle. So you suddenly realized that you had this unique superpower at a unique time, and that it made more sense for you to go out and hang up your shingle than it did to continue maybe looking to find another corporate ladder to climb. And so you had all of these different things happening, kind of taking shape at a unique time in the world, and you were able to capitalize on that, specifically around email marketing. What I'd love to like hear a little bit more about, though, you said what really got you traction was starting to publish. So you started to make yourself what they call these days what do they call it? A subject matter expert or something.
Correct.
Like that. Yeah, there's something.
That's exactly right. Yeah, thought leader.
That's it. That's the thought leader. So at that point, you were an early thought leader in inbox marketing, and that type of marketing is what brought you. Is that what you're saying? That's what sort of brought you to the forefront of that was happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. And it actually, I wish I could say it was intentional, but I got triggered. I got triggered at a party one night where, you know, people were asking me what I do for a living. And I'm like, I'm creating an email marketing company. And they're like, oh, great. You're a spammer. And I was like, no, that's just it. I'm like, I believe in permission-based marketing, and this is how companies can use it. And they didn't want to hear any of it because like it was over drinks.
Yeah.
And they just, in their head, they're like, spammer. So I went the next day and wrote up this article saying, you know, all advertising is spam. Like, I'm not opting in to watch your commercial on television. Like, you're littering my view with these billboards. You know, you're interrupting my programming, you know, on radio channels. Like, you know, it's that spam. Like, so why is email being called out for being spam? And I got a ton of hate mail from like ad agency people. But then I had like a bunch of like legit Fortune 500, you know, executives write me and say, you're right. And we want to do more permission-based marketing. And so how can we do more opt-in marketing, not only through the email channel, but other channels?
Yeah.
And that was like, yo, somebody gets me, somebody's hearing me. And that encouraged me to keep writing. And before you know it, I was speaking at conferences. And in within like a year, I'm like email marketing expert, which by the way, was silly because I had, you know, been doing it about as long as, you know, anybody. And now when I talk to founders, it's like, it's a really interesting thing, but like people are really afraid to put themselves out there. People are really afraid to speak their truth, to stand for something. And yet when we work through that, you know, and we really allow ourselves to take risks and to put ourselves out there, you know, however uncomfortable, you know, it is, we get feedback, whether we like that or not, things happen. And sometimes things happen, you know, in really good ways. And so they worked out in a very good way with Inbox, as you know.
Yeah. It sounds like you were just super self-expressed. You had an inspiration. You put it out there. You were your authentic self-expressed self, even though that the rest of the marketing world and advertising world didn't want to hear it. They were sort of marching to one drum.
Yep.
And then that unique voice that you put out there allowed you to be able to communicate directly with the people that would want the service that you were offering and that had the same sort of ideas that you had. That's brilliant. So, okay, so now you've hung up your shingle, you're a thought, you're an expert. Now suddenly you find yourself in the position of being an entrepreneur, startup founder. Now suddenly you're dealing with everything that goes in and around running a business, right? That includes not just the stuff you love, right? But the stuff you might not love, right?
Yeah.
And so what did that look like? And then how soon before you were in that position did you find your exit, right? I want to hear about Barry sort of in inbox, you know, the head of the company dealing with everything and then the exit. And then obviously we're going to get to everything after that here in a minute.
Yeah, right on. Well, so first and foremost, so my co-founder, Justin Brommel, amazing guy. He, by the way, before we even started the company was like, I really want you to talk to my medium. And I was like, what's a medium? He had been practicing transcendental meditation twice daily. No idea what that was at the time. Wow. And JB's student, you know, was then, still is now. And he and I had no idea really what we were doing. We started, you know, we started the company in this like shed. It was basically, it was in, 42 Alston Way, San Francisco. Actually, we started in Chicago and then moved to San Francisco. But anyway, it was a wonderful roller coaster. It was a total circus act. Right. You know, there were moments where, you know, we were crushing it. You know, we scored our first seven-figure client. We're like, looked at each other like, oh my God, are you kidding me? They're going to pay us this much money. He's like, we could literally pay ourselves 300 grand a year and not hire many people and like create an amazing lifestyle business. I was like, bro, we should do that. He's like, no, we should grow. And I was like, should we grow? He's like, should we grow? I don't know, bro. And so it was one of those like, and we ended up, you know, hiring more resources and deciding to grow. And yet it was this constant ebb and flow of like, can we make the sales numbers? Can we staff up the right resources? Can we hang on to these clients? Can we hang on to these resources? How much should we invest in technology? You know, will we make payroll this month? Sorry, guys, we didn't make the numbers. Leadership team, we got to take it on the chin. We're not going to pay ourselves. You know, we're going to pay everybody else. Like parents, let's project like everything's okay when it's not okay. You know, should we say? Should we not say? I mean, all of the pains and pleasures of being a startup founder, we got to experience. You know, we like a cat had many, many lives. We should have died like a cockroach many times. We didn't, you know, we found a way, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And we ended up ultimately bringing on, one of the best things we did was bring on a CEO who was like, you boys have done well. You all have done well. And now it's time that we actually set up shop, like, and create an actual solid foundation that we can sustain success upon. And after bringing him on, within 2 years, we exited.
Wow.
So yeah. So like fast hyper growth and an exit. And I ended up, you know, everybody around me was applauding and congratulating and me. And I remember feeling in us, and there was a lot of wonderful people that I worked with that made it all happen, that manifested it with us. And at the time, I remember just feeling so hollow. Like I had become more of a machine than a man.
Wow.
Yeah. I was numb is the best I can say to describe how I was feeling. It was like, okay, I had attained this milestone, you know, an achievement. And yet at the same time, I remember just like feeling so disconnected and having trouble being in relationships. I mean, relationship with myself, let alone, you know, anybody else, and being lost and not knowing what to do next. Like I had this dream of being an exited founder. That was like so exciting for me, you know, having a unicorn exit. That was so exciting for me. And then now what?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That wasn't the answer that I expected. I thought you were going to say at that moment you had, you know, you were incredibly, you know, fulfilled and, you know, that the
I was jumping for joy when I saw my bank account. I was like,
yeah,
I mean, I'm self-made. To become on your own a multimillionaire is a thing. It's like playing a video game as an avatar. And all of a sudden, like, you know,
ding, 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 all the coins.
Yeah, you won the game. But like, how many of us have played a video game and once you beat it or read an awesome book and once then it's what? Over?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, now what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so I met you very soon after that when you were in your now what? I remember we met on the beach at a mutual friend of ours place that we can talk about that later. And
great startup party in California. I mean, epic. Yeah. One of the like ones you'd watch in a movie.
It was like never ending startup parties. Remember, it was like the party here on the beach there. I think it was more about the fun than the business model.
Well, honestly. It was. In fact, you know, one of the friends that introduced us had invested, you know, I think hundreds of thousands of dollars in a startup and they spent, I think,
a fourth of that on the party. I mean, totally irresponsible and yet epic. Wouldn't likely happen today, but it was fun.
Yeah. I remember at the time also you were, you know, we had a conversation about mushrooms. We had a conversation about psilocybin, and you just gone through an experience, and, you know, obviously you had experimented early on, but I could see at that point that the work that you were, that you felt yourself called to do was in and around something a little bit more heart-led, a little bit more conscious outside of just wanting to scale businesses.
Definitely.
And so did you, was that something that you knew you wanted to do after like the big exit, or was that something that you sort of had that hollow space there and you started to see yourself as being like, why do I feel so hollow? And was that inquiry sort of what had you go into becoming sort of the heart-led business leader that you are today?
Yeah, great questions, Alex. You're pretty good at this podcast stuff.
I'm not surprised.
You're pretty good at everything. So, I mean, just like kind of we opened up early teachings in my early childhood, especially, you know, realizing from my parents the value of being a lifelong learner. I mean, my greatest lessons in so many ways have come through, you know, epic experiences, epic journeys, and those have included both what I can see right now in 3D and also what I've experienced in the inner space. And especially when I'm in states of altered states, if you will, altered states of consciousness. And I, you know, in my teenage years, found very many frequencies through plant medicines, like, you know, psilocybin journeys with myself and nature, you know, while on tour with the Grateful Dead and Phish, you know, leveraging LSD and the community. And so as I continued that exploration post-exit, if you will, and diving deeper into like, what am I? Who am I? You know, why am I here? What am I here to do? What's my purpose? How can I be in the highest of service? These are inquiries. And one of the most profound experiences for me in that exploration and transformation, which is another, you know, thing we share in common, was Landmark. So Landmark was epic. I got a call right after the sale of the company, and I was asked by the CEO of Landmark to come and help them with email, and specifically the possibility of an email referral program, only to then realize that that probably wouldn't be the best thing for them. And I got to experience Landmark Forum, and then went on to the advanced course and the self-expression leadership program. And that was so incredible for me because that helped, you know, me to see me and also to start to feel again and be less numb. And I started remembering how, you know, when I was early, you know, early on in my life, you know, working with psilocybin mushrooms and journeying with my friends, you know, in that space, I was unleashed. You know, I was able to be me fully. And there were many names for me then, and just like there's many names for me now, but it was really exciting to be able to explore that. And it actually wasn't, and yet at the same time, I still wouldn't have put myself out there. I was still scared, you know, to declare, especially with my professional reputation and everything else, that like, hey guys, I've learned probably the most and had the most profound experiences in life, you know, when I'm experiencing, you know, modalities that alter my state of consciousness. And and so it had it not been for Brandon, who was like, look, in all the transformational work we've done, you know, for ourselves, what has been most impactful and how can we combine that and bring that to others so that they can wake up and show up and shine in a compressed period of time? Like, should it take our lifetime? Should it take multiple lifetimes? Or is there an opportunity to create kind of a human accelerator of sorts?
You guys then embarked on One Heart Journeys. And so One Heart Journeys is, I mean, you know, what you can call it, a psychedelic travel agency. You can call it a group of, you know, a group of like really heart-led change makers who come together to explore ways to impact the, you know, the universe. You can call it many, many things.
Or
right?
You could just say there's no words that would actually.
Yeah, you can do that. Absolutely. So now you've landed on One Heart, among many other things. Tell me about what you see in terms of One Heart, in terms of the future of One Heart, and where you see yourself being able to, maybe not just with One Heart, but being able to take this work and expand it worldwide, like the big impact. Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, so I mean, I look at I look at one heart and see nature, and nature is constantly growing and evolving and expanding. And so, I mean, right now, One Heart just finished our 11th iteration. And so we're now almost 400 alumni worldwide. I mean, the last couple journeys, as you know, have been, you know, at least a dozen countries, you know, represented. So it definitely has been international and global. We are having our next One Heart journey at one of our alumni's retreat centers, which is going to be very special. I'm very much looking forward to that. We just brought on a number of, I don't know if you saw the newsletter, but we've, you know, teams grown. A lot of alumni are participating and contributing. And so in many ways, it's thriving. And, you know, when Brandon and I started this work, I remember asking Brandon, I was like, you know, early on, I'm like, okay, we can scale this. I'm like, this is exciting. Like we should, you know, we could have these going in like multiple locations. And like, you know, I'm like, my mind's racing. And he just looked at me and he said, no, he said, every time we do one of these, we get to ask permission from the Great Spirit to do the next one. He said, we approach this with reverence. He's like, we get to keep a container that's got the highest of integrity. And the second we start to kind of, you know, go beyond that, we might not be fit to lead. And so I was just like, whoa, downer, buzzkill, Jesus, Brandon, this is, you know, no, and I'm kidding, because like I've learned so much from him. I mean, because of Brandon and because of what we've brought into One Heart with great reverence and respect and most of all, love, and how so many people like you, Alex, have shown up and not only shined in the experience, but then come back and to give and to co-create and co-elevate. It's like as a community of just all stars. I mean, it's all stars. And so, I mean, we shine brighter together. It's amazing. And so, yeah, who knows what the future will bring. I know we'll dance. I know we'll sing. I know we'll... Yes. I know it is beautiful and it will continue to be beautiful, whether it's, you know, called One Heart. I mean, I look at humanity and I'm, you know, geeking out more and more on history. And so I believe One Heart has already evolved into many mutations and taken on many different forms. And so while there no doubt will be an incredible epic offering, you know, that is One Heart, I know One Heart has been seated in the hearts of so many incredible leaders that are birthing so many beautiful manifestations into being. That's been my dream of dreams for One Heart, and it's manifesting.
Brother, that is perfect. We couldn't have touched on more. If anybody wants to learn more about Barry, please click on right under the screen there. You'll have a link to One Heart. They're taking applications. Feel free to apply if you feel called. And thank you again, Barry, for coming on the show. I love you, brother. And
I love you so much, man. It's you've been such an incredible friend to me. And I'm just so grateful that you're in my life. I truly am. I love you.
Thank you, brother. I love you too.
Thank you for tuning in to Off the Clock. Don't miss next week's tips around innovation and HR. Subscribe to the show. You can catch us on YouTube, Apple, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, be kind and thrive.